Joshua chapter 1. Let's be strong and courageous. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for being almighty. Thank you that you make your strength available to us, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. Teach us this day how to make use of that power, even in the face of the enemy. Teach us how to be strong and courageous, and teach us why we can be in this lesson. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Knowing how to do something and doing it can be two very different things. Knowing how to throw a baseball so that it crosses home plate is one thing. But throwing it when a batter is standing there and striking him out can be something very different. Knowing how to be a good soldier and fight and shoot is one thing. But when you're facing a real live enemy, it could be something else altogether. What does it take in a stressful situation where you are facing an opponent and you must do what you know how to do, but do it with the greatest effectiveness possible? What does it take? It takes a thing called courage. In our text today, Joshua has just become the leader of the nation of Israel. Moses has died. They are about to cross the Jordan River, go into the promised land, and face formidable enemies, real enemies. How will Joshua lead this people? Verse 1, God says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, in today's political correctness, that would seem like a very cold statement, wouldn't it? Just point blank, Moses, my servant, is dead. But God is making a point. Moses is the past. He is not coming back. Moses will no longer be leading this people. You cannot be successful today and tomorrow based on what happened yesterday. You remember Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm sure you recall it as I read it. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." What's the one thing I do? "Oh, forgetting those things which are behind." Now, I'll come to the rest of the verse in a moment. But the first thing you have to do is forget the things that are past. Now, remember, I referred to spiritual coins. There's always, a coin has two sides. You can't have a coin with only one side, right? So there are things to learn from the past, but there's a particular context in which you have to forget the things that are past. Sometimes you have to remember, sometimes you have to forget. But in this case, in a case like with Moses, the Israelites can't sit around and say, "Oh, wish Moses was back. You know, when Moses was here, those were the good old days." Have you ever gone through that? The good old days. Yeah, we like the good old days, right? We wish it was the good old days. Well, the good old days are never going to be back again. They're gone. They're in the past. What do we do today? So he says in verse 2, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Get up. Don't just sit there. Get up. Stand up. Stop mourning that Moses is dead. Get up. Arise. Put yourself in a useful posture. And the very next word then is go. Why? Why get up? Why arise and go? Because there is something that must be done. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Get up and go. There's something to be done. You can't sit here and think about Moses. That's not going to get anything done. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, there is, Joshua, a prize to be won, verse 3 in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Do you realize to this day Israel has never possessed all the land it was promised? If they possessed all the land that they were promised, they would possess all of Lebanon, most of Syria, and some of Egypt. How do you think that would go over today? They didn't get all the prize. Now, Joshua was willing, but not all of the people were. And if you study through the book of Joshua, you find out some of that. But God is speaking to Joshua, and God is preparing Joshua for the task that is before him and set before him the prize to be won. Now, he says, get up and get going, because there's something that you have to do, and the prize is the promised land. You see, God says in verse 5, I made a promise to you, Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Did you ever purchase an item, and along with that item that you purchased a warranty or a guarantee, sort of like an insurance policy? Did you ever read the fine print? Did you ever read the warranty at all and see what it says? There's an ad about an insurance company. I'm not even sure what insurance company the ad is for. You know, you see some of these ads and you say, what were they advertising? But this ad goes something like this. There's a man calls his insurance company and he wants to put in a claim on his broken appliance. And the insurance agent informs him that his insurance doesn't cover appliances. He says, well, what does it cover? Well, things like earthquakes and volcanoes and zombie apocalypse. And he says, zombie apocalypse, that would never happen. Well, no, sir, but if it would, you'd be covered. But it doesn't cover my appliance? No, it doesn't cover your appliance. He forgot to read the fine print. What it doesn't cover. What good is insurance if it doesn't cover what you need it to cover? I guess that's the point of the ad. I don't know. Whatever company, I'm not advertising for the company. I don't even know what the company is talking about. But the point that I want to make is there is no fine print in the promises of God. When God says, I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee, that's exactly what he means. So, three times, God says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. God says to Joshua, even though I have promised to you that I'll be with you and I won't fail you, it's as good as done because of my promises. You need to demonstrate that you believe my promise. And here's how you do it. You be strong and of a good courage. It's a command. You be strong and of good courage. Now, these words are Old Testament words. Let's define them and understand the connotation. You know what connotation is? Words are like colors. If I would say blue, what would you think of? Now look around the room. How many different shades of blue are there in this room? There's a lot of different shades of blue, isn't there? Okay. Words are like that. Words have shades of color. Words have connotations. Connotations to words are like shades of color. The same word can have different connotations, different shades to its meaning. And that's why we define words and give you the sense of what shade of color is this particular word in this context. The word strong in this case means to be resolved, to be firmly resolved, to be unreservedly determined. Having your feet firmly planted with the resolve that I shall not be prevented, I shall not be stopped from accomplishing my task. I am resolved. I'm going to do it. I don't know why. When I was studying this, the same event in my life kept coming to me. I guess it illustrates this a bit. I played football in high school, and I was a lineman. Back in those days, linemen were not 300 pounds. I was a hefty 165 pounds, and I was a guard on the offensive line. And there was another fella that was a defensive player, and we were, I guess, the most aggressive two players, and the coach would use the two of us to demonstrate to the other players what we were supposed to do. So he'd set up these bags and make this very narrow place, and he would be the defensive player and I'd be the offensive player. We'd get in our positions, and then he'd say, hike, and we were supposed to go at each other. And I was supposed to get through. He was supposed to get through me, and I was supposed to prevent him from getting through. And neither one of us ever made any progress because we were both about the same strength, and we would butt helmets. Back in those days, you could butt helmets and just hold each other off. I mean, there was no way I was going to let that guy get through me. I was resolved. And that's what he says here. You be strong. You be determined. You have a task to do. There's a job to be done. Now you be resolved to do this. And he says, be of good courage. Be brave. Be bold. Be firm. And it suggest a certain frame of mind. Courage in large part is a frame of mind. It is that quality of mind that enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, with valor, with boldness, with resolution. And as I was studying this, I was reminded of an excellent illustration of courage. Perhaps you remember, those of you that were born before 1989, some of you weren't born before 1989, June 5, 1989, Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. There was a large protest, civilian protest, that was taking place in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. And the government dispatched a military unit to go to Tiananmen Square and disperse the people. And there was a very long line of tanks that were proceeding down a particular street towards Tiananmen Square. There was one Chinese man dressed in a white shirt, dark pants. He had been shopping, and he was carrying two shopping bags. And no one to this day knows exactly who this man was, but it is presumed, because he's carrying these two shopping bags, that he really wasn't part of the protest in Tiananmen Square, but he had just been shopping and was on his way home. And he happens to be crossing the street about the time that these tanks are rolling down the street. And it was a long line of tanks. And he sees these tanks coming, and he stopped right in the middle of the street in the path of these tanks and stood there. Now, the crew in the first tank that came upon this man tried to go around him. And every time they would turn the tank, the man would step to the side and stay right in front of the tank. And they tried every which way, and this went on for a little while. And finally, the crew in the first tank gave up and just turned off their engine and stopped. One man stopped an entire row of tanks. They could have run right over him, but he stood his ground. That took courage. So God says, I want you to be strong, be resolved, and be of good courage. Because, in verse 6, you have a job to do. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And in order to divide the land to the various tribes and give them their inheritance, you have to go in and conquer the land. There's a job to be done, Joshua. And so I want you to be resolved. I want you to be courageous. I want you to be determined. I want you to have the frame of mind that you can go in there. You're not going to let anyone prevent you from accomplishing your task. You're going to go in there and you're going to do it. So again, he says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. This is the second time. First time, be strong out of a good courage because you have a job to do. Second time, be strong and of a good courage, so that, in verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Observe to do what I have said, God says. I want you to observe to do my word. Now, we use the word observe in reference to looking at something. But this is more than looking at it. This is observe to do. He says it takes courage to have a faithful observation of the Word of God that brings about a careful adherence to the practice of the things contained in the Word of God. Observe to do. Be strong and courageous so that you can observe to do. It takes courage to obey the word of God. Isn't that interesting? Why is that? He says, another dimension of this, in the rest of verse 7, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Do exactly what God says. Observe to do it exactly as God has said it. Don't turn from it to the right. Don't turn from it to the left. Don't change it in any way whatsoever. But be resolved and mentally courageous to do exactly what God said. There are too many people today, even in the church, that are playing the devil's game of saying, well, did God say that? Oh, but God didn't actually mean that. You remember Genesis chapter 3. Satan comes along, the serpent comes along to Eve and says, yea, hath God said anything about eating of the trees here? And Eve says, oh yes, God said that we can't eat of this one particular tree lest we die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Oh, yeah, God said that, but he didn't really mean that. And how many things have people changed in the Word of God, turned either to the right or to the left, saying, well, yeah, that's what it says, but that's not what it means. Did you know that the sin in Sodom was not a sexual sin? No, it was the sin in Sodom was a failure to show hospitality. You didn't know that? The woman that was taken in adultery. You remember that incident where this group of men brings the woman? She was taken in adultery. Did you know that the woman was the victim, and the guilty people were the ones who were judging her? These men were judging. You know, the adultery was really not the problem. The problem was the men who were judging her. Because we shouldn't judge anyone. Didn't Jesus say, he that is without sin cast the first stone? And what was their sin? Their sin was judging, right? That's right, isn't it? Oh, it doesn't matter that he said to the woman, go and sin no more. And what was the sin of those men? Remember, Jesus at that time stooped down and wrote something in the dirt. Ever wonder what he wrote on the dirt? The best speculation that I've ever heard about that is he wrote in the dirt, where is the man? Doesn't it take two to commit adultery? Where is the man? And I wonder which one of those men, or all of them together, had conspired against this woman, set her up. I think there was a lot more to this whole situation than them just judging this poor victim of a woman. But this is how people twist the word of God and change it and turn from the right hand to the left hand. Christians will have the most courage and the most determined resolve to be faithful to God when we determine to keep God's word just as it is. So he says, be strong and of a good courage that you may observe to do all that is written, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. In fact, he says in verse 8, go a little further. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I like to define meditate as mental digestion. Mental digestion. You know, cows eat the same grass twice. Did you Do you know that? They eat the grass and chew it a little bit and moisten it up and swallow it into one stomach. And then later on, they bring it up, and I'm going to say this word wrong. My wife always reminds me. I said, how do you say it? They chew their cud. Ah, I got it right. They chew their cud. It's the same grass they chewed before. But now they're really chewing it so that they can get the maximum benefit from it. You know, we read the Bible. We memorize the Bible. But then we need to meditate on the Bible. And I like to call this mental chewing the cud. Bring it up again to your mind and mull it over. Think about it. Think about how it fits to other parts of the Word of God. Think about how it applies to your particular life. Just think about it. Turn it over and over in your mind so that you can get the full benefit of it. So he says, listen, I want you to be strong and courageous so that you will spend sufficient time with the written Word of God that it will have the greatest impact upon your life. Why does it take strength and courage? Why does it take resolution, a resolved mental attitude of determination to adhere strictly to the Word of God? Because there's so many things in this world that easily distract us. The easy thing is to go through life without dealing with the Bible. It takes a mental resolution, an attitudinal determination that I will not be distracted from the Word of God. I will take it in. I will turn it over in my mind. I will understand it. I will get it. I will see how it applies to my life. And I will do it in exactly the way that God has said it. So he says, be strong and of a good courage because you have a job to do. Be strong and of a good courage so that you can observe to do all that is written. And now verse 9, be strong and of a good courage so that you can be aware of the presence of God. Have not I commanded thee, he says in verse 9. Be strong. Have not I commanded thee, he says. Be of a good courage. Be not afraid. Don't tremble. Don't shake in fear. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't let the enemy break you down so that you cannot function as God intends you to do. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Why should we not be afraid? Why should we not tremble and shake? Why should we not be dismayed? Why should we not let the enemy break us down? Because of the presence of God. He's with us. Just let that sink in. He is with us. Who is God? What is he capable of? Is God strong? Is God courageous? Why can we be strong and courageous? Because the strongest of all and the most courageous of all is with us. He says to Joshua, you have a job to do. Don't look back. Moses is gone. He isn't coming back. It is never going to be like it was in the past. It will be better. You have God's promises to hold on to. You have God's word to observe and do. You have God. Now don't tremble and shake. Don't shrink from the job that you have to do. Be firmly resolved. Be unreservedly determined. Plant your feet with the resolution that you shall not be prevented from accomplishing your task. You have a job to do. Let's do it. Let's be brave. Be bold. Be firm. Set your mind to face your dangers and difficulties without fear or without the depression of your spirits. Be strong and very courageous, not because of who you are and not because of what you can do, but because of what you have. You have the promises of God. You have the word of God. You have God. And that is all you need. What shall we face in the days ahead? We don't know. We've had a pretty good life in the last half century or so, have we not? Wars have always been in other places. Our lives are affluent. We live pretty well. In this area particularly, here in York, we're pretty safe. It's been rather idyllic. But what's to come? We don't know. What enemies will we have to face? We can't be sure. What dangers lurk in the crevices of tomorrow? We have no idea. But we can be strong. And we can be courageous. Because God has made his promises to us that never fail. God has given us his word that always keeps us on the right track. And God has given us himself. He's always with us. He never fails. Will you be strong and courageous this day because of what you have? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Such wonderful blessings. We have your precious promises, we have your written word, and we have you. Fill our lives with a sense of strength and confidence, of courage, that will help us face every possible foe with a resolution to stand firm and do our job. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.